Hi, and welcome to this part two of Access and Information Protection. In this segment, I'm going to be talking about the IT experiences and how we're delivering in Windows Server 2012 R2 the ability to offer out these services to non-domain joined machines, the BYOD devices, and what it takes to actually deliver on the Access and Information Protection scenarios. So we'll go back and just do a little quick recap from, in case you haven't seen part one, around users expecting to work on any device in any location, their ability to just grab a device and start working on it and to be productive. We're talking about the explosion of devices out there, eroding that standards-based approach to IT. We have multiple platforms out there, they're not all managed, and yet users expect them to all just work. And we need to make sure we retain control of that information. The applications, how we deliver all these applications across multiple platforms and still retain control. And then when you layer data on the top of that as well, now there's just complexity on top of complexity, and it just gets harder and harder and harder. And this ability to maintain compliance and maintain control of information on machines that, quite frankly, you know nothing about and have no control over whatsoever. And so the way that we've approached this with Windows Server 2012 R2 is to bring together the management, the access protection, and the protection of data to make sure that across those users, devices, apps, and data that you're able to maintain control, but also empower the users to work that they want. So from enabling users' point of view, in part one, we took a look at workplace join and how we could control access to resources based on not only the user identity, but also the multi-factor calling and the device registration as well. In the hybrid identity section, we looked at how that common identity really gave the user a single sign-on experience and that ability to just work on their device and log in once. And then protecting information, which we're going to kick off with this time in the demo section, around getting data onto that device, but maintaining control of the synchronization and the compliance around that as well. So let's kick off with a bit of a look at enabling users from an IT perspective. Users wanting to work on those devices, having access to their apps, and you needing to retain control. Now that all comes together with enforcing the workplace join, the device registration, placing constraints around where and when they can authenticate and how they authenticate, and then publishing access to resources to enforce all those access rules and the authorization and authentication policies that apply there. So, how do we help you do this? Well, with users able to work from anywhere, we need to give you a way that you can make this happen. We can do the single sign-on to make sure that you are aware of the device that puts the certificate onto the device and puts the record into Active Directory. We have the enrollment and the access to the company portal, so enrolling the device for management, the payoff for the user being if they enroll their device, they get access to applications and can configure their devices and maintain their own control. We make it easy for you to publish resources through direct access, through automatic VPN connections, providing that configuration for the user around this application requires this VPN connection and pushing that configuration down to the user's device through the management service. You have the ability to publish access to resources through the web application proxy, either as a straight reverse proxy or in conjunction with ADFS, putting conditional access policies around that, such as the workplace join. And then in the other section that you can watch in these MVAs around virtual desktop and RDS and so on, being able to publish a remote copy of that desktop or that application to platforms that you don't have a native app on, or in scenarios where you want to have that data centralized for control. Publishing access to resources through the web application proxy. We start with that user, again, wanting access to the applications on those devices and those applications. You can use the web application proxy to do pre-authentication at the edge. Basically, this is going to integrate with ADFS and challenge the user to prove that they are who they say they are before they even get through into the inner sanctum of your environment. So doing a multi-factor call at the edge and pre-authenticating the user before they can get through. With Active Directory, that is our user identity. That's where we store the device registration information, and we're going to take a look and see what that looks like. We can do straight reverse proxy for basic and NTLM-based applications. That is basically handing off the authentication back to the application and saying, I'll provide the access, you provide the authentication. when we took a look at ADFS and the ability to get to modern and Kerberos and claims, RESTful OAuth applications and other Office Formspace applications, we can then get granular control over the application. So putting policies around authentication and authorization, putting things in place such as the device must be registered, you must be a member of this group, there's various controls that you can put in place, and being able to configure all of that in a very granular way. Through the integration with Windows Azure Active Directory, you can also build application, if you're a developer out there, that you can connect to the Windows Azure mobile services and very easy integrate your application into this common identity structure and do things like push notifications and easily build into your application the authentication mechanisms and leverage all of this great work. Making data available with work folders. We have a new capability in Windows Server 2012 R2 called work folders, which is sync enabling a file server. And this is taking home directories, this is taking client-side caching and things like offline files and really moving to that next step of being sync enabled. Just like we have SkyDrive for consumer, we have SkyDrive Pro for taking SharePoint documents offline. Work folders is about taking user data and synchronizing it to all of their devices. The users connect to work folders, they enter the username and their password. I'm going to show you what this looks like in the demo. And you can enforce granular policies around that. So you can either just do a straight reverse proxy, or you can also do the ability to integrate it with ADFS and put conditional access around that. The selective wipe mechanism that we talked about in part one of sending a bomb to that device and saying, you no longer can connect and it wipes the corporate applications and the corporate data, work folders is integrated with that as well. And if you have a device that is synchronized with work folders and you do a selective wipe against that device, then access to that data is denied. And we do that through the new selective wipe API that's built into the platform, and we leverage the encryption capabilities of the platforms that we're connecting to. All of this information is stored in Active Directory. It's where the discovery mechanism is stored, and is also where domain join machines are going to get their information from as far as work folders is concerned. From a remote access point of view, we have Direct Access, which is the tightly managed, highly managed domain join machines automatically connecting no matter where they are on the internet. We have traditional VPNs, which you'll all be very familiar with from many years. And now we have automatic VPNs and that ability to configure an app to trigger a VPN and do that on the user's behalf. It means the user doesn't have to think about which VPN I need to connect to, which profile I need to choose, and so on. When you launch the app, it launches the VPN. Any third-party plugins, any kind of multi-factor authentication will also be applied at that point in time. Hybrid identity is a critical one for the IT pro, and thinking about how do you take that safe and secure on-premises Active Directory environment and make it available to users who are authenticating against cloud services. And so we've done a lot of work to make it easy to provide that single sign-on across both and for you to be able to synchronize that information from Active Directory out to Windows Azure Active Directory. Once it's in Windows Azure Active Directory, you now have a single repository that all cloud services can communicate to, both from Microsoft platforms like Office 365 and Windows Azure, but also against third parties through the Windows Azure App Access capability. And that ability to automatically do pass-through authentication against a number of cloud services that are out there from third parties. So we'll take a bit of a look at this. We put a big investment in Active Directory in Windows Server 2012 and the ability to really cloud enable the traditional on-premises Active Directory. We can run at scale with virtualization. We support the virtualization platform. There are updates to both Hyper-V and VMware ESX to be able to take into account domain controllers running virtualized. They are aware that when they come up, Active Directory is going to know that it's virtualized. It's going to query the platform and say, am I virtualized? The answer is yes. Okay, I need to make sure that I'm not out of date and I'm not going to try and roll back a bunch of changes that have happened since I've been offline. Or if I've been cloned, then when it comes up, it needs to get those updates to come down before you do anything. A much improved deployment experience. Instead of the plethora of tools that we used to have, there's now a single PowerShell interface that we can deploy domain controllers remotely. No more joining to the domain and then remote controlling to it. You can actually push the Active Directory role to a machine and then bring it up remotely, all from the central console. being able to leverage that Active Directory up into Windows Azure Directory, which you've just touched on, doing single sign-on across both cloud and on-premises applications. That single sign-on experience for the user is really critical, especially when you start to bring in multiple devices. And then new in Windows Server 2012 is the ability to activate both Office and Windows Client simply by being a member of a domain. You join the domain, Windows gets activated, Office gets activated. From a cloud identities point of view, we really want to provide this single sign-on experience, and so making it easy to do that connection between on-premises and AD. When we bring that together, we have Active Directory Federation Services, which is the bridge between on-premise and up into the cloud. And then we have DirSync, which is about the synchronization of attributes from Active Directory up into Windows Azure. Recently, we brought in Password Hash Sync with DirSync as well, and we're going to take a look at the difference between these two things just now. Once you do that connection, as we just talked about, those third-party applications, the applications in Windows Azure, Office 365, Windows Intune, these are all platforms that run on Windows Azure and also connect to Windows Azure Active Directory for the authentication as well. Building out from a development point of view, building out an application so that it can take into account these things across that common identity model makes it easier for you to deliver rich applications no matter where they run. Okay, let's take a look at the two scenarios that we have here. From a cloud authentication point of view, you can simply use DirSync with Password Hash Sync. This synchronizes the metadata out of Active Directory to Windows Azure Active Directory and also takes the password hash of Active Directory and synchronizes that to Azure Directory as well. What that means is that from a user authentication point of view, the authentication can happen out in the cloud and can simply stop at Windows Azure AD. That may not be comfortable for all customers. It may not be possible in all sectors of the industry. And so we also have federated identity and this ability to do the DirSync of just attributes, but then pass back that authentication through the federated link of ADFS. And what this means is that now the authentication, whilst it's challenged out in the cloud, will come back to your on-premises environment and validate that it's accurate before continuing on. This means that you've got a single source on-premises with your Active Directory. From a multi-factor point of view, as you look at the top there, when you are just DirSyncing with password hash, you can still do multi-factor authentication, but it's only going to be against that Azure Active Directory environment. When you're federated with ADFS, you can now bring multi-factor authentication into all of your applications that are public, not just the cloud environment. From an ADFS point of view, there's some significant investments that we've made there. We have conditional access with multi-factor authentication at the edge, which we saw in action in part one, where as we tried to register a device, we were challenged for that multi-factor authentication phone call. Simplified deployment, much easier to deploy, much easier to manage. We took away the IIS integration point, made it a service in its own right, which takes away one more thing that you need to manage. And this is about publishing applications through the web application proxy out for Kerberos, Claims, RESTful OAuth, and also the Office Forms-based applications as well. The registration process is done through ADFS internally and through the web application proxy and then onto ADFS when you come in from outside. You can still federate to other organizations. We know there's a lot of B2B going on out there where you want to authenticate users from one company against resources in another. And so that is still possible through ADFS. We have not taken that away. And then from a SaaS application point of view, we can publish that access out to Azure Active Directory and provide that access out to all those applications that are running in the cloud. From a data protection point of view, and this is really that last mile of, well, it's great that we've controlled access to environments, it's great that we're controlling authorization on the way in, but what about the data and how do we protect that? And so we've had a number of investments here. We have Dynamic Access Control, which came through Windows Server 2012, and we also have the new integration with Windows Server 2012 R2 in work folders and the integration of that through DAC and the publishing out through ADFS for claims-aware access to that data as well. From a policy-based access point of view, when we're publishing access through work folders that we're going to take a look at in just a moment in the demo, those are published out through the web application proxy, and that will take into account all of the compliance that you have set against that data as well. which means all the central auditing around who accessed data, but also all the authentication and authorization around that data as well. And then from a desktop virtualization point of view, again, if you don't want that data to leave the environment and you're locking it down, then allowing users to remote into that environment is the way to deliver out that access, whether it's just publishing the data itself or publishing the application that's leveraging that data. The multi-factor authentication call that we did, here's kind of how it actually works. So when the user tries to access the information, when I tried to log on and register my device, what happened is that a phone call, or a connection to the web service, was made out to the Windows Azure multi-factor authentication service. That then made a phone call to my phone. It took that data back and passed it back to the back-end service, confirming that I was who I say I was and that I successfully passed that challenge. If I'd failed that challenge, which you saw when my phone didn't call, it actually prompted me to say, well, you didn't pass that, but can you answer the questions correctly? So there's always a fallback mechanism if you want to provide that to the users. Once that happens, you can also configure the frequency by which this happens. So you can put a timing in terms of how often do users need to do the multi-factor authentication call. From a dynamic access control point of view, no change here from Windows Server 2012. We'll bring it in because we're going to show you this integrated with work folders. You can automatically identify and classify data based on its content. So looking for keywords, looking for strings, looking for credit cards and social security numbers and government pieces of information, being able to put a formula in place and then be able to search for data that matches that and then indicate whether that should be classified and also protected in situ as well. Once you have identified and classified that information, then we are able to not only automatically rights protect it, but make it available through work folders as well. Centrally managed in all those audit policies, all of that scanning that's done through Windows Server Active Directory, all the data is, all the configuration data is stored there, and you can configure all the auditing policies centrally. Integrated with Active Directory Rights Management out of the box, and also the ability to create a central set of policies and have that go out to all of your data locations using Group Policy and Active Directory. So that sounds like enough of some slides. Let's go and take a look at some demo and see how this all comes together in the environment. So I'm going to break out of the slides here. And I'm going to bring up two server instances. I'm going to remote in to my servers and show you the back end for all of this. Actually, one moment. I'm going to show you the work folders thing first because then I'll show you the back end. So we talked about protecting data. And let's take a look at that end state. In Windows 8.1, we have the ability to configure work folders so that we are synchronizing information. When I type that information, it's going to ask me for my user credentials, and I'm going to type that in. It's going to go and do a lookup out on the internet and say, do I know where this user's work folders actually is? In this case, yes, it does, because it's asking me for my credentials. So if I could type my username, type my password, and that is now going to configure my machine, authenticating it through. You can see it's finding it. It's going to tell me this is where I'm going to store your data on your machine. Click Next. It's warning me that it's going to apply some security policies. We are encrypting work folders, which means that in the event that I lose the device, the selective wipe policy can kick in. We're also going to require that you put a pin lock on your machine, and we will block access if you lose access to that information. I'm going to accept those and click Setup. It's going to tell me that it's starting to synchronize all that data in the background. And as I hit Close, you'll see that on the right-hand side of the screen is the amount of capacity that I have left. I've been delegated down 5 giga disk space, and it gives me the last sync. On the left-hand side, you can see the documents that are synchronized down from my file server. And so I can do things like I have a, I can create a document of which I will launch Word up. Let's just create a blank document just for demo purposes. My keyword that I have from a dynamic access control point of view is confidential. And so as this is saved and synchronized up, I'm going to save this into work folders and we'll do confidential MVA, hit save. And it's going to save that document, make sure that's saved, and hit close. And that has now synchronized up. There's our document. You can see that it's 12 kilobytes in size. What's happening here is you can see on the right-hand side that it is synchronizing that file up to work folders. And so that document now, first point, is it's no longer just on this machine. It is now also on my file server. So simply by saving that document, we have enabled us to have a backup of this file. The next thing is that at the back end, I have a policy set that says any document that contains the word confidential is probably something that I care about. And so therefore, I'm going to put a classification policy in place that says when I find a document with that, I'm going to classify it as important and I'm going to apply rights management to it automatically. So we'll just hit sync now, and what we'll see as things click on, here it comes back down. You can see it was syncing a file that is now synchronized. If we do a quick refresh, you can see the size is now 141 kilobytes, which means that when we launch this, it's going to prompt me for my credentials because I have now applied rights management to it. And when I bring that up, you will see that it's configuring for rights management and that the rights management policy has applied to that document that we just created. Okay, so simply by creating the document, working with it as a user, it's synchronized up, it's been protected, it's been classified, there's a backup now in the server, and it's come back down again, all in a seamless fashion for the user. So let's take a look at the back end and see how that all comes together. So let's take a look at work folders first. From a work folders point of view, this is a new feature of the file server role. And so when we take a look under file server, you'll see I've got a new node called work folders. And here is the configuration for that environment that we were just connecting to. We have this sync share set up. You can see that it is connected there. You can see that Chris Johnson, my demo user, has access to the sync server share. And so I was able to log on as Chris and be able to do that. And it also is giving me capacity around how much I've allocated 32 gig of disk for my demo server. So therefore, I've got that. And it's telling me what the limit for each user that's logging on as to what happens. I've got a 5 gig limit. It is a hard limit, which means that when they run out of capacity, it's going to stop synchronizing and not run my server out of space. And so that's the automatic quotas kicking in as well. From that classification point of view, all of that is controlled through the file server resource manager. And there's two things that we need that we've got in place. The first is that we have a policy in place for documents that contain the word confidential. And so we have scoped this down to our sync share. There's the demo share that we configured for work folders. And under classification, we have a simple policy that says if the document contains confidential, then I want you to tag it as classified. That's great. We've now classified that piece of information. The second thing we're going to do is to run a task which is automatically rights protected. And so we have a task here whose action is to RMS protect the document using this template. Okay. From a condition point of view, it's looking for that confidentiality equals high, which is contains the word confidential. And we've got a schedule running to run continuously. So as files are saved, they've been automatically protected. You can also run this on a manual basis as well. And so that's how we've created the ability not only for users to get data, but for you to retain control of that information as well. Now, I also want to show you, if I jump over to my other server, that from a back-end point of view, taking a look at workplace join and the device registration and how that came together. So the first thing I'm going to show you is this is the multi-factor authentication console. And for each user, you configure whether they are enabled for multi-factor authentication and the default authentication mechanism you want them to use. In the configuration, you can choose which mechanisms they can choose. We can do phone calls in terms of both a standard phone call, which is just press hash, i.e. the validation is simply that you answered your phone and hit the hash key, or you can enforce a PIN code, which is what we did in the demo in the first part. We can also do text messaging. We have mobile applications for all the major platforms, or you can do an OAuth token and provide that. Simply by ticking enable, putting a pin here and hitting apply, this user would be enabled for multi-factor authentication, and if they hit a policy, they would be able to communicate with that service. Now, as far as policies go, all of this is done in ADFS. It is the hero rare here in the device registration story. For those of you who know ADFS, you'll notice that there is now a third node down here called authentication policies that did not exist in previous versions of ADFS. And in ADFS in R2, we have this new ability to do multi-factor authentication and also set primary authentication mechanisms. The first one you'll notice is down the bottom of the multi-factor authentication, we have a global policy, which is enabling the multi-factor authentication plugin. This is a plugin model, so other multi-factor authentication providers can build their environments and also plug into this as well. We've just plugged the phone factor acquisition, rebranded to multi-factor authentication in here, and said that at a global level, this is now available to be taken into account. We can also set policy around when will the multi-factor authentication kick in. Is it just for unregistered devices? Is it for registered devices as well? Is it when you're coming in from the extranet or from the intranet as well? So internal versus external. For each service that we publish through ADFS, we have the ability to configure whether it uses those global policies or whether it overrides them. For the device registration service, which is the workplace join that we did, we've simply come in here and under multi-factor authentication, tick the box that says unregistered devices. We're not registered because we're doing the registration, so therefore I was prompted for that multi-factor authentication. ADFS then went through that call, registered the device into Active Directory, placed the certificate onto the device and completed the workplace join. Now the outcome of that workplace join is in Active Directory. And if we take a look at the Active Directory Administration Center and open up our Contoso demo domain, there's a new top level folder called Registered Devices. And if I come into here and click the refresh button, what we'll see is we now have two devices pop in here. One is the 8.1 device that we first registered, and the second one is an iPad. If we take a look at the attributes of each one, you can see that there is the display name of my client, so that's the machine name. There is the thumbprint of the certificate that was placed on the device, and you can see that we've got a number of pieces of information. We're running the 8.1 RTM build here. You can see the registered owner. There's the SID of my user account, so you can match which users registered which devices and which devices are registered to which users. If we take a look at the iPad one, which will be slightly different, and take a look at the attribute editor here, you'll see that the display name is just my device, and as we scroll down, we will see that there is the device type is iOS, and we have different sets of information. Still track that against myself as the user, so I know that I registered the device, and IT can see that I registered this device as well, but we still have all of this information about the device that we can take into account in those policies. So, that's just a quick look through the IT side of things in terms of configuring those resources, publishing them out, making sure that you can see what's going on. We configured work folders, we synchronized data, we're classifying that information and making sure that we're protecting it in situ. So I'll just jump back to the slides to do a quick recap and close out the section. As we wait for the slides to come up. All right, here they come. So that's what we went through with the dynamic access control. And just by way of recap, we were empowering users. We're talking about registering devices. We can also do the enrollment to the Windows Intune service. We can automatically connect through the automatic VPN as well as provide those access to resources in a very controlled way. We've got hybrid identity across Active Directory and Windows Azure Active Directory out to all the services that are attached to Azure Directory, multi-factor authentication, third-party cloud services, and then we have that ability to synchronize data back into the environment and be able to classify it and protect it with that policy-based access control. So that's the end of part two. That is our access and information protection IT user experiences as well as the previous end user experiences as well. I hope you found that useful, and please go and take the Windows Server 2012 R2 bits for a spin. Take a look at how you can be empowering your users to work the way that they want on the device of their choice, but you remain in control. Thank you.